Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Rampage Preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick, joined by fellow Dudley boy Michael Hamflett to preview everything that's in store for us on tonight's show. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review Rampage, Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0 pay-per-views. We have wrestler interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. I don't get work dread anymore because I really like this job, apart from on Tuesday mornings. But if you're a first time listener to this, I apologize in advance, and I promise the podcasts are usually better than the next minute of your life.
Before you say what I know you're about to say, can I say that I share that too? We are without the Dadley's dad today in the form of Adam Wilborn, but you will notice that the production quality is better than usual because we are braving, trying the studio ourselves, technophobes that we are. I've got my own dread, and even then, because I'm in charge of a couple of buttons, I know that it doesn't compare to what you're about to put yourself through.
Indeed.
Let me elevate that.
I am contractually bound to write and perform what has become known somehow as the Rampage Rap.
I don't think I can make eye contact with you when you do this.
Please don't. Please don't. Right. Here comes the Rampage Rap this week. I'm Michael Sidgwick, and I'm here to say... I'm actually doing it. Okay. Right, shut up.
Sorry.
I'm Michael Sidgwick, and I'm here to say I hope Rampage is better than Wednesday. It's time for Guevara versus Tony Nese. Not Jay Lethal, so at least there's no unease. Jade Cargill wins a 40-second squash. That's your token women's match sorted. Bish, bash, bosh. No Phoenix tonight. What a political mess. Are FTR going to win? Are they going to touch grass?
Very good. Very good.
Thank you. A very cynical rap there.
There's not a rap in Adam Wilborn's brain that drops unease. he's not got it.
There's not a rap in anyone else's brain that drops unease in a bar. That was a cynical rap, but I think there's a sense of cynicism fostered by Dynamite not being particularly great this week. Are you any more excited for Rampage?
Only because last week's Rampage was great. Best Rampage in ages, coming at the time of like what now is in a like Dynamite sandwich. Isn't it? Well, at least the sandwich where the bread's stale, but the filling's really good. So maybe in an accidental sabotaging of Dynamite, they have perhaps addressed a Rampage problem. The shows are feeling a bit more all-star. The Jade Cargill point is one that you made before it was even made real by AEW, and that sort of looms over this, as does the Phoenix swap and all that. But there is optimism, which I think I'll pepper in as we go through match by match. I think there is optimism to be found. It sort of needs to be good. Dynamite was pretty poor. It was subpar by AEW standards. And if for nothing else, with this being... this is a very WWE take. With it being taped, maybe they'll sweeten the sound during the matches.
Yeah.
Like, in
please
all seriousness.
Do, please do.
Like, maybe they'll learn from one of the major
Yay!
Faults. Maybe they'll learn from one of the faults of Wednesday night. I'm not advocating for the SmackDown hairdryer here, but just, you know, ramp up the atmosphere if you need to. I won't judge.
Yeah, please do that, because it was really flat, uncharacteristically flat. You are reminded what the crowd generally brings to Dynamite when they aren't actually that audible. And I don't, again, blame them for that.
Do you know who I want to just briefly reference here? Our very own five-star review, sort of documentarian, Kid Icarus. Very grateful for his support and all he's done for the like the documenting of all those 5-star reviews. It's a helpful reference point for us and people that want to request stuff. And he was attending. I saw that he was attending Dynamite. And I hope he had a blast. And I think he did.
He did.
Like, I didn't see the follow-up, but I hope he had an awesome time. Because I never want it to come across like we're bantering off the crowds for being quiet. It's on the show to give people a good time.
Absolutely.
And when you're there live, I think you're more likely to have a good time than not anyway. So anyone that, like that else that might be listening, as well as Kid Icarus that was in the crowd, it's absolutely not on you guys. And I hope you had an absolute blast seeing Sting or whatever. Like, whatever was great on that night, awesome. It just, we have to review what we see through the screen, and what we saw through and heard through the screen wasn't great.
Yes, absolutely. Again, we talked a lot about how Dynamite's Atlanta card this year was totally lacking compared to February 2020's card, and much of that has to do with the fact that a lot of the great stuff that ordinarily would just completely highlight all 2 hours of Dynamite is now preserved for Rampage. So hopefully the week adds up to something a lot better than it did by Wednesday. The main feature, I guess, given that the 2 out of 3 falls match isn't happening because of some kind of political administrative mistake, I gather. So the main thing, I guess, that's going to sell this show is the TNT title match between Sammy Guevara and Tony Nese. Just before I get your thoughts on it, my only worry is that whenever something tends to absolutely bang on Rampage, I'm invariably told by someone who's been in attendance that it was great, or you hear whispers that get retweeted on your Twitter timelines.
That kind of wasn't helping early days, was it? Because they were 5 stars, and then you're watching it. That wasn't. Come on.
Flat four. But the fact that we're not even getting any of that is a little bit of a worry, because realistically, you want 2 matches here to be absolute bangers. I haven't heard any buzz. That's not to say there isn't any, but that's another reason to not feel the best about AEW this week. For me personally, I'm expecting Sammy Guevara to retain, obviously. I'm expecting something akin to the Jay Lethal match where the selling wasn't outstanding. It was good, I think, but then it was almost undermined by some of the big action set pieces. I'm expecting a total athletically driven ripper that doesn't necessarily have much depth to it, but maybe that's the best thing for this particular Atlanta crowd, given that CM Punk tried to really do a selling performance in his match. It didn't particularly get over. Maybe this match could bring the fireworks that were sorely needed on Wednesday night.
Yeah. If only those fireworks are coming as a result of Tony Nese pointing at his abs.
Yes.
The dream entrance we all still want.
Tell people about this in case they don't know.
Years ago, Tony Nese on a podcast, I can't remember exactly where he revealed this, but he revealed, and it popped us daft in the office, that he wanted just one opportunity to do this entrance idea he had, where every time he points at one of his abs, fireworks go off in the background.
It's amazing.
And he's got 10 of the fucking things. So like you'd get 10 bursts of pyro from him going, push, 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 each time down the abs. Great heel move, like looks totally audacious. The type of stuff they would have absolutely rolled out for a Chris Masters once upon a time, when WWE cared more about presentation for presentation's sake rather than for snipey competitive reasons. I hope AEW as a listening company and with their finger on the strangest of wrestling pulses sometimes, that this eventually gets picked up on if Tony Nese makes something of himself. It's probably not going to be tonight, but it'd be a nice thing to look forward to seeing once. It's no different really than them paying off like a really deep cut being the Elite gag.
Yes.
It's the same sort of things. So that's not out of the wheelhouse to do. In terms of the match tonight, I don't want to put needless pressure. I don't want to. Like you know, he's going to hear this. We know they're listening backstage. But I don't want to put needless pressure on Tony Nese. But by comparing him to Bryan Danielson, but he could and should wrestle like the big guy tonight. I was looking at pictures of Tony Nese before we recorded this,
just because
it's a nice thing to do. He's absolutely ripped, he's jacked, and in WWE he was positioned as a cruiserweight because that company's ridiculous issue with giants. He's massive by any normal standards, and he's way bigger than Sammy Guevara. Let that be the story of this match. Sammy has shown unbelievable main event fighting from underneath babyface fire, and how you get over Tony Nese on night one, especially in defeat, unless I'm completely wrong and misreading the size of these when you actually see them together, but from the brief exchange that we got last week, I'm led to believe that Tony Nese is going to look like a monster, and he can monster Sammy Guevara.
I think he's slightly shorter, but like he's much thicker.
Yeah.
Two C's.
He can monster him in the match, and then Guevara can do what he's done against the likes of Miro and just look incredible. Look like he's like showing something that you never would have imagined a slimy heel like him had, which is that innate intangible, as like all the sort of old-fashioned wrestling heads would say, where like he looks up and he's reaching out to the person in the cheap seats to help him through it. And he's like, I never saw this in this guy, Sammy Guevara, this kind of young punk kid that spends thousands on trainers. How's he sympathetic? And yet he is. So I expect
he's also a bit of a moron on Twitter as well, which doesn't help.
Yeah, like I don't know how like his work finds sympathy in the way it does, but I expect him to do it tonight. Tony Nese is going to lose, but that potentially sets up the type of wrestler he's going to be. Daniel Bryan was a underdog, goat-faced, surprise technical wrestler. Bryan Danielson is a killer.
Yeah.
Bryan Danielson is a wrestling machine who looks 100 foot tall because of how he works. That's the sort of defeat, that's the kind of style Tony Nese could embody even in defeat tonight. That's what I'd like out of this.
Yeah, they could do some ab stuff because Tony Nese has got abs.
Sammy's got the tape.
He's got the tape on the abs.
He's got his midsection is Miro's neck.
Yes, absolutely.
Forever now, that's his thing.
He's really good at it as well. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely tremendous at it. Yeah, I'm expecting kind of a hollow Sugar Rush athletic ripper that, as I said, should actually be the tonic for what we saw on Dynamite in terms of audience reactions. What we're about to preview next, in my opinion, it's just not on. Jade Cargill's got a squash against, I forget the name of Thunder Rosa's student, but I suspect it won't actually matter all too much. It just isn't on. The worst thing about this match is that you can absolutely 1,000,000% hear a conversation in your head that has actually happened across the Atlantic, and you don't want to listen to this conversation, even though it's definitely happened. At some point, Tony Khan and QT Marshall, who Tony Khan books it, and QT Marshall assists with the formatting of the show. At some point, they've said, right, okay, well, before the Phoenix stuff was found out, they've sat there and thought, right, or between this process, 2 out of 3 falls matches, right, okay, well, maybe we'll just do 2 matches on Rampage this week because it needs the time. Then one of them, at some point in the stage, either before the Phoenix development or after, has said, oh, people are going to complain that there's no women's match. And the other ones rolled their eyes and went, yeah, Christ, you're right. It looks bad if we don't give them a women's match. What do we do? Well, can't take time away from the men. That can't happen. So what do we do? Jade Cargill, 40-second squash. Hey, popping open some bloody champagne. That's what's happened.
Yeah.
And that's what annoys me. In a way, I quite like the fact that Jade Cargill is getting these squash matches because I don't think she's winning that tournament. I'm not necessarily convinced she's winning the final, but she will have theoretical credit in the bank from having won these matches. But the thing is, we've seen so many of them. What's the point?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Maybe they're building to 2 title losses. She'll get dumped out of the TBS title tournament, but all those wins mean she's going to be higher in the rankings and she can do a TV match with Baker. And then having lost both of those, she can bin off Smart Mark Sterling, who, in my opinion, exists as this imbecile of a manager who exists to be blamed for when this Jade Cargill character, who isn't anywhere near ready yet for a title reign, can say, oh, it was his fault all along. I'm giving this more thought than they are. What am I doing?
Yeah, you can't. you can't preview this match. You end up previewing other matches.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing to this. There's no meat on the bone whatsoever. It makes you want to think about Jade Cargill. I go both ways on whether or not I'm thinking it's her in a Ruby Soho final, and I kind of call it, which is good, I guess. It's unpredictable. But I'm not necessarily looking at the narrative implications. I'm looking at the booking long term. I'm thinking, is this the time that you end Jade Cargill's undefeated streak? Because streaks have to end, and it sometimes becomes an albatross rather than an actual useful booking tool. Yeah. So maybe losing the tournament final is the perfect way to Jade to kind of like take a first lump. It's not going to be here. It's, as you say, it's going to be a straightforward squash. The obligation, as you've laid it out there, doesn't feel far from the truth, and it's kind of ugly. And that, again, strips away any emotional or narrative investment. You are watching a formality that exists for a different and cynical reason. I love Jade Cargill. I veer closer to Wilborn's adoration of what she has rather than... I'm blinding myself to what she hasn't got, basically. Yes. So I wouldn't have a huge problem with her winning the TBS title, as potentially dangerous as that is when she's kind of forced then to go in longer matches, because at some point you kind of have to try. In the meantime, like, this is still what it is, and absolutely not single thing more.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no point wasting another second on it, which brings us to the third and final match scheduled for tonight. Phoenix is not on the show. This match, in fact, is in the can. We know it was taped on Wednesday. It has been adjusted to Pac and Penta L0M versus FTR in a normal tag team match, because they're not squandering the 2 out of 3 falls step on what isn't the destination. Pac's a pretty great substitute.
Yep.
The stakes aren't quite there. The investment's not quite there as a result, but I still expect this to be an excellent professional wrestling match. I can't tell if I like the detail of Pac wearing an eye patch, because there exists a bit of continuity in some small way it puts over Malakai Black, who goddamn needs some putting over of late. He seems to be lost in that shuffle. Or if it just gives them an out to beat Pac, who in doing so will go 50-50 again alongside Andrade Malakai Black. It's all part of the stew that we've talked about with my ridiculous metaphor. I'm expecting this to be great. Dax Harwood and Pac clearly have great chemistry. Better chemistry than FTR have with either of Penta or Phoenix. We're the low guys on that match at All Out, but I still think they've got, hopefully, a far better match in them for how well it was praised. But I'm expecting FTR to win to build towards the title challenge in the 2 out of 3 falls match when it does in fact happen, with Pac getting maybe poked in the bad eye and rolled up. I don't want to see Pac get rolled up.
No, but I do think he's getting beat. Yeah. So this is where my optimism comes in here. I'm more up for this than I would have been, because I wasn't terribly up for the 2 out of 3 falls match. I'd lost a bit of faith in the FTR Lucha Brothers combinations I would have watched it and I would have hoped for the best, but I wouldn't have gone in hyped. I certainly didn't foresee a title change, so they didn't have me on the hook. I was more on the hook for seeing if FTR could still have a revival 2 out of 3 falls match, rather than thinking, oh, is there going to be a title change? Are they going to take the belts?
Yeah.
Didn't have any of that, which is what you want, really. That's the thing you should really be caring about, is who actually gets the falls rather than how good the falls look and how they're performed. This, on the other hand, the result feels open and shut, but I'm kind of curious about the chemistry. I'm curious about what they have to do differently than what they would have done. I'm not getting a great deal out of how FTR are getting the best out of Phoenix. It's never felt like it's clicked that much. So as much as I hate the idea of Rey Fénix not being in a match, maybe Pac is something different. This is an unknown. There's a certain WWE last minute replacement flavor to this, and they often go well.
Yeah.
The thing that you hadn't given a second thought to, it's suddenly thrust in your face, and you're kind of like, you have no choice but to take it. And then it's like, oh, pleasant surprise. And I'd rather come away with that pleasant surprise feeling about the quality of the match than the disappointment of what we've had so far. Yeah. I'd rather that be what I'm left with emotionally. So I've kind of got, I wouldn't say high hopes, but medium hopes for this one. But I do think the result goes the same way. I can't decide if FTR do eye stuff because a patch is right there, and they're not working their gimmick if they don't target it.
Yeah.
So they have to. It's like willfully negligent if they don't target the eye. But I do wonder if Malakai Black, if it's one of them AEW, we gave you a finish, it just happened the finish was cheap, run-in type things, where FTR have been working the eye, so the patch has been lifted, and then Malakai Black misses him again, or something, just to expedite the fall for the sake of this match and then build to the eventual Malakai Black Pack singles match. There's a fog blowing in on this AEW mid-card at the moment.
It's weird.
For so long, salivated over this pairing, this pairing, this pairing, this pairing. How we have arrived 2 months later at a series of matches I don't really want to watch. I kind of unpick this.
It's basically from... I'm trying to decide what it actually is because it's so hard to determine what's going on half the friggin' time. We've gone from Matt Hardy versus the undercard to... I forget about him for a while. I know Jack Evans shaved his head. Thanks for that, but we'll pick that up.
We didn't do the actual payoff yet.
We'll pick that up at some point too. Cody fights the mid-card. And then try and do these... the worst possible attempts at deft dovetailing booking where a lot of people get into the orbit. And yeah, it's just so odd. I'd love to see Pac versus Malakai Black, but I can't. It's going to be an incredible match. But ultimately, I can't decide between Pac, Malakai Black, and Andrade El Idolo. Who's the one that's meant to be getting over at the result of this? Which three of those are potentially going to go towards the TNT title picture?
Do you know what the reasons?
A disconnect between like...
Nobody's talking about rankings in terms of these matches. No. They're just happening. None of it feels like a trajectory, doesn't it? None of it feels like I need to be, especially not with Cody, but like none of this feels like, well, Pac's on a bit of a losing streak here or there. Like, can't remember at this point.
You got the fall at full gear?
Yeah. Like Malakai Black is less over than he was when he started. Andrade's record, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, and he's only been here 10 minutes, and you should be able to hold on to that information. They used to be so good at making you hold on to information. None of this feels like it contributes to the bigger picture, whereas one of the nicest things to talk about in AEW is like 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months after this.
I don't know what's happening in 2 weeks.
I can't see where any of these are going off this.
I don't know where any of these are going in like 2 weeks' time, and there's just a disconnect because you've got Sammy Guevara, it's just an example, works the Open Challenge gimmick against people who you like or at least very technically capable, and then it's just one and done stuff. Those matches don't really draw ratings, or at least where it was all trending towards in September. Meanwhile, you've got this actual mid-card that is directionless, unfocused. You can't tell who's like the best. Like, you used to be able to tell who's the best.
Yeah,
you can't do that anymore. Like, the roster's loaded enough. I like Tony Nese. Does it need a Tony Nese? I understand he's valuable in terms of giving Guevara experience, being a pin eater for the clean wins. But if the clean wins elsewhere don't really mean anything anymore, I'm starting to wonder for the first real time, like, what are we kind of doing here? Why isn't Guevara Pac, like, remotely on the table? Or Guevara Malakai Black? These are, like, big TV matches that you should be doing. I understand it's just as bad, in my opinion, to have Malakai Black losing and then winning and losing and then winning, then losing like a bigger match against like a champion.
This is possibly like longer form discussion on another podcast.
Have they signed too many people?
Well, I'd like to think not. However, one thing, when you were saying there, when you were thinking about like why is, say, Pac, for example, not lining up against Sammy Guevara, is one of the issues currently, this is sort of technically preview fodder, and then I know we'll wrap this up because people will just want Rampage talk. Is it something to do with what AEW was always so brilliant at was, yes, it's about rankings and fighting for titles, but you're supposed to obscure that with good angles.
Yeah.
Is there an argument to be made that the problem is that the quality of the angles is simply not good enough that we're talking about this? If Pac, let's say Pac and Malakai Black, because we assume that's where this is going, if their storyline was something we were really sinking our teeth into, we probably wouldn't be caring that we couldn't see where they were going next.
Yeah.
But maybe that's an issue at present. Maybe the stories and the angles aren't really strong enough in the mid-card that rather than us thinking, for example, about MJF and Punk, we're not thinking which one of them is going to get to the title first. We're thinking we want to see them fight.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that with this mid-card blockage at present. Jungle Boy is another good example. We know that there are brighter days ahead for Jungle Boy, but right now we can't wait for the Christian stuff to turn up. That angle investment that was once there across pretty much everybody is not there now for a lot of wrestlers. There are a lot of wrestlers who you are not particularly bothered about the stories that are being told.
There are only so many reasons you can concoct for a grudge feud that exists outside of a title picture that every wrestler should be pursuing.
Yeah.
And I think this is just the worst one of the lot that just so happens to feature some of the more talented performers. And I think it's particularly great when you consider that, like, Malakai Black's not that young anymore. Mm. Like, I don't know. It's just all a bit of a mess. Let us know your thoughts on who out of Pac, Andrade or Malakai Black, I should care most about. Let me know their bloody win-loss records. I've completely forgot.
Strange NXT rat race between the three of them.
It's just absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. You can do so at WhatCultureWWE on Twitter. Whilst you're there, you can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at M. Sidgwick. Once again, follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Don't forget to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Got a lot in store for you this weekend. You get the Rampage review on Monday because we are Englishmen who work 9 to 5 the proper way. So make sure to keep an ear out for that. But in the meantime, we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.